So just briefly about me, I'm Anya. I grew up in London, but I'm now studying geography at Lancaster University. And I'm gonna kind of talk about my journey into activism and then kind of some of the influences that I think it's kind of difficult to know how I ended up where I am, but some of the kind of factors that I think maybe played into that, and hopefully do that in 10 minutes. But I'm happy to like take questions afterwards and talk about things further. So yeah, I was trying to think back to, I do kind of activism within the climate movement, but also within the peace and anti-militarism movement. And I kind of try to think specifically around the climate, where my beginning was around learning around the environment and learning about the climate crisis that we're in. And I was thinking back to primary school, and I'm sure many of us can relate to sitting through boring lessons year after year, learning about the importance of recycling and turning the tap off when we brush our teeth, and you know, making sure lights are turned off, and maybe even encouraging our parents to switch to LED lights. I think that came a bit later. So that was basically my upbringing around the environment. I was quite lucky to have parents that were quite aware about that and politically kind of engaged, and had kind of other discussions. But the main areas was around in school, learning about kind of sustainability. And I did, as a kid and as a teenager, attend kind of demonstrations. I remember in 2015, marching in London when the Paris Climate Conference was happening, and marching with thousands of people along the streets of London, and really feeling that if we got enough people out on the streets, we could force through change, and that we would be listened to. But I still didn't really, I wasn't that kind of politically engaged. I wasn't involved in much campaigning, and didn't really know what else I could do apart from maybe sign the odd petition and attend some demonstrations. But then in 2018, maybe we all remember, when the IPCC report came out and the headline news was that we had 12 years left. And this scared me a lot. I kind of remember sitting being like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. 12 years is like a bit over half of what I've just lived. Less than just what I've lived, sorry. I think I was 17 at the time. And knowing I needed to do something. So in 2019, in February, I saw that there was a climate strike happening in London. Some of us may have heard the movement that kind of Greta started. And there was a kind of national strike that had been called across the UK. And I went down to Parliament Square, and was among thousands of other young people my age, and seeing that, you know, the adults had clearly failed to do something, and we had now taken control and taken that back to try and force through change and get us listened to. And it was incredible going home after that, after being among so many people my own age, feeling the energy, then going home and seeing on newspapers, on the news, kind of the fact that we'd made these headline front pages, and that people were listening to us, and it did feel like there was power. And I then joined UK Student Climate Network, which was the group in the UK that was kind of behind many of the strikes and helped to organise the strikes in London specifically. And there was a build of momentum. March got a lot more people out on the streets, and maybe some of you joined the general strike in September in 2019, where I think it was the largest climate march in UK history. And it really felt like there was going to be some change. The government had declared a climate emergency, that was slight hope. But pretty much after that, there was kind of a drop in momentum among the student climate movement, among strikes. And I definitely felt like we couldn't continue what we were doing. We were losing the attention that we'd first got. It wasn't really making the change anymore. So I was burnt out. I took a break for a few months. And then we went into lockdown in February 2020, which completely killed a lot of things. And yeah, so we stopped kind of strikes in London. We've done a few odd ones here and there, but we cancelled the last one because like people couldn't go. But I knew we needed to try something else and try different tactics. And I think that's something that I've really learned from going through these strikes. So I saw that the Science Museum in London had just announced that they were opening a climate exhibition in, I think it was March 2020, being sponsored by Shell, the fossil fuel company, which is very hypocritical. And this was a museum that many of us had been to as kids. We'd been taken to on school trips. You know, we all had childhood memories from that. And it should be an education space, not a kind of space for these corporate fossil fuel companies to greenwash. So I kind of spoke to other members of the London Climate Strike Group, and we decided that we would organise a campaign against this. And since then, we've learned from our mistakes of using one tactic, and we've used multiple different tactics, from petitions, open letters, all the way to direct action, facing kind of security and police through occupying the museum overnight. And as part of that, we worked with a number of other groups, mostly kind of adult groups. And one thing that I kind of want to share with you guys that I saw a difference between that campaign and the climate strike stuff was how adults treated us. We'd had a lot of problems within climate strikes with adults feeling that they knew better than us, they took over. They at points maybe did know better than us, and we do need to listen to people, but also we had a lot to share from the two adults, and we weren't ignorant, we definitely knew what we were doing. Whereas with the Science Museum campaign, adults ongoingly said, no, you're leading, we're gonna follow, we're here to support you, but what would you like us to do? We had groups kind of, when we were occupying the museum, they said, we're happy to bring our bodies there. If you don't want us there, if you just want it as students, that's fine. And I think that was something that was really kind of powerful for me. So I'm gonna quickly kind of, I'm watching the time, so I'm gonna try and wrap up quickly. But I just wanted to also mention, like, obviously I've done a lot of climate stuff, talked about a lot of climate stuff here. I'm also involved in peace activism, kind of campaigning against arms fair that happens in London every 2 years. And also with a couple groups around supporting protesters with their legal rights and supporting protesters going through court. So kind of a wide range of things, which I'm obviously happy to talk about if that would be helpful. But I was thinking about where this has come from. I've not just kind of come out of my mum's womb and been able to do this. There's been lots of people that have influenced me and been able to allow me to do this thing. My parents have had quite an impact on me. There's three kind of key values that they gave me when I was younger that I really hold on to. One was that we should all be caring for each other and the planet. The second was that I need to develop as an individual, and I need to be able to question things for myself. I had Fancy, who I was talking to earlier, but we had some interesting conversations with a parent saying that their child kept questioning things. It's annoying as a parent to keep getting questions, but it is really important for us to be able to have those skills. I would not be doing what I do now if I wasn't able to question things. And also that we're responsible for the actions that we take. I've made mistakes and I'm responsible for those actions. And we all make mistakes, but being able to kind of be responsible for that is really important. My faith background has also really influenced me. I grew up as a Quaker, and kind of three values that I've taken from that. One is peace, which has kind of influenced why I've involved in the peace movement, but also truth. Everything I do, I try to kind of pause before I commit to something and think, am I doing this? Like, am I being truthful to myself? Am I being truthful to my values? Is this who I am? And also equality, which I'm sure we can all kind of make the connection to social justice issues around that. I also, as a teenager, and Jude here will know, I had the opportunity to be able to be involved in kind of organizing and facilitating youth Quaker events. And the skills and mentoring that I've had from that has definitely transferred over to the kind of campaigning that I've been able to do, being able to see adults believe in me, and believe that I have power and able to kind of influence others despite my age was really important for that. And I also felt that I had adults kind of cheering me on and supporting me even when, you know, campaigning got difficult or other points in my life got difficult. So having those really like supportive connections around us has been really helpful for me. So I'm going to wrap up and kind of, I can add other things later as questions come up. But yeah, those are kind of things that have enabled me. I've kind of done a wide variety of things. But when I'm looking around at others in my like activist friendship groups, a lot of the things that I've mentioned here aren't just things that have happened to me. I can see the similarities with others. They've had these supportive opportunities to develop either when they've been doing campaigning and involved in social justice issues or when or as they were growing up. So yeah, I think that there's clearly a comparison that that way of if people get given those opportunities to flourish and supported in that in those leadership opportunities, then there is a clear outcome. But yeah, I'll wrap up and I'm happy to take questions later.
Thank you, Anya.
Slides. I'll just get started. Cool. Hi, everyone.